So as we continue on in Romans, we're in this great study of Romans chapter 10. It is the final section that we're looking at in chapter 10. So go ahead and open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 10. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 21 this morning. We come to our last two final thoughts on Israel's failure to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So find your place there. Romans 10, we're looking at verses 11 through 21 this morning. Coming to our final two thoughts on Israel's failure to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is kind of amazing. And as we've been looking at this, just kind of that they would reject the Lord. As you pull out your outlines, you'll notice that the front side of your outline is basically a review from where we've learned what we've learned so far. We'll touch on that lightly, but the back side is going to be the focus for today's message. And I suppose, like I already alluded to, we should start with that question again as we've been going in through all of this with all the privileges that the people of Israel had in relationship to God. And you can even relate that to your life sometimes, you know, but in regards to all the privileges that the people of Israel had with God, you know, right, they had the covenants of God, the patriarchal, given the God, word of God, all of those privileges that they had, why did they reject the Savior? And that's what's really being answered in the text and what we've been talking about that. How could they do that? You know, Paul's answering that basic question in their relationship with God to reject the Savior. How could they do that? And the answer that we've been seeing in this chapter, chapter 10, is that they are willfully ignoring the character of God. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, what we've been going through. Here they are. You got the Jewish people, all of that, the chosen of God, as we looked at it and all of that. And here they are with the truth of God all before them, the way of God, the Christ, and all of that. And they are willfully ignoring the character of God. They're willfully ignoring the provision of salvation found in Christ, and they're willfully ignoring the place of faith. And we've looked at all that. They are placing their faith in to be accepted by God and to be forgiven by God in their own works. That's what they're placing them in. They're not placing them in God's provision and God's truth. They're placing them in their own works, in their own goodness, basically not in God's grace unto salvation. And we answered the question, and as we think about this, why? Why would anybody want to do that? Why wouldn't anybody want to follow God or follow His word or honor God's word or receive Christ or trust in what God has provided for? Because God has provided all the grace necessary for us to live the life that would honor God, eternal hope, all those kind of things that are through the word of God. Why? Because self-righteousness. And that's the bottom line. And as we looked at it, and we've been kind of addressing our own hearts, the bottom line is that they love their sin more than they love God's righteousness. Jesus spoke to it in John 3, 19 through 21. He said, they don't want to come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. They love the darkness rather than the light. They wanted to be self-righteous, self-sufficient, good enough, which is sin, isn't it? And they didn't want to give it up. They didn't want to give up sin. That's who they are. That's what we're recognizing in the text. And Paul answering this is why they rejected the Lord is because they love their self-righteousness. They love they're prideful. They love their that they were accepted by God by their own efforts. They're forgiven by God by their own efforts. It was based on them. It's pride. And we looked at all that. And it really spoke to our hearts, didn't it? If you've been here the last two messages, really been applying this to our lives and how we live our lives in our relationship with God, our struggle as Christians, and I know you would agree, is to recognize pride, to recognize self-righteousness, self-serving attitudes and beliefs about God, and repent, to turn from serving self to serve the living and true God. That's how we came to faith in Christ. That's how we came to get this new life in the Lord. That's how we came to salvation. We came repenting, turning from serving self, serving sin. That's what, you know, recognizing we're all sinners. We looked at it today in the Gospel of Mark, embracing the Lord, embracing the true and living God. That's constant in the life of the believer. It's constant in the life of the church. It's constant in your life if you're a Christian. Now, it wanes. It goes up and down. I get it. In our life, because God is still at work in all those things, and we are rebellious sometimes in our own lives, but it's constant in the life of a believer. It's called the road to sanctification. We looked at it all the way through Romans 6, 7, and 8. We dug into all of it. We live a life of repentance. Why? Because change is our life. That's the word of God. That's God's word is never going to get away from that. It's never going to say it's not that. Humility and the humble heart recognizes that God is at work in each of our lives, helping us see where we are willfully ignoring God's holiness. willfully ignoring God's character, God's provision in Christ, and ignoring where and what we place our faith in. He's showing us this all the time to guide us, to lead us. It's so that our lives grow and grow more and more in the direction of reflecting salvation's grace that we have in Christ. And that's just been really eye-opening as we've been going through all of this. And I know it has been to me. I'm privileged and honored in all this. I get to spend all week in it and digging into it and looking at God's word and what it says. But I know it has been for us, and it all relates to what we've been learning. This chapter 10 isn't outside of chapter 8 or 6 or 4. They're not all separate. This is a word of God. This is an epistle that he wrote to them, and they all relate to what we've been learning in the book of Romans. Let me just read something to you out of Romans 8. I want to just read 5 through 14 to you. Just all that I said, this was we're learning about the Jews and about their willfully ignoring. But listen to what the word of God said back in 8:5. It says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds according to the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now you remember that, what that is. Your life is according to the Spirit of God if you're saved. And so now you got a new mindset, and it's according to the Spirit. You're still going to battle your flesh, but now it's been set by God in your new life to be according to God's leading, God's word, God's truth. For those that don't have that, their life is just about the flesh. And the flesh is only one thing. It's about self-gratification. And it says that, "For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. For if God doesn't renew our mind, if God doesn't transform us and give us a new mindset and a mind that can think on the truths of God and act on the things, it's all about death. It's not about life and peace. But with God, it's about life and peace in his truth. Because the mindset on the flesh, verse 7, is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And we looked at all of that. And now you're looking at the Jews living right in the midst of it. We learned all of that when we read that. We saw all those truths there. Now the Apostle Paul's writing to the Jews, right, that are living right in the midst of this, that their mind is set on the flesh because they're not saved. And it doesn't matter what they do. They cannot please God according to the word of God. Well, that had to be pretty confronting. He goes on to say, "However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you," and that's the life we have. But if you don't have the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to the Lord. "And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness, his. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you have that life through the Spirit by the same power that raised Christ from the dead." And we looked at all of this. So verse 13 was so important for us when we looked at that. It said, "So then we're under obligation not to live according to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit. Because if we're living according to the flesh, we must die, we must be saved, we must be rescued, we must be delivered, we must have the new life of Christ. But if we're living according to the Spirit dwelling in us, the life that God has for us, what we are doing is we are putting to death the deeds of the body." We're putting to death sin. We're changing, we're growing, we're maturing. And so this all just connects. And so he's speaking about why the Jews have rejected Christ is because in their heart they're self-righteous, prideful. They won't submit. They're willfully ignoring who God is. But it also speaks to our lives. We've been rescued and delivered from that, but am I being truthful here? Am I being honest? We still struggle with willfully ignoring God's things, right? Are you there with me today? Or are you willfully ignoring what God has to say today? Because the truth of the matter is the Word of God is confronting, isn't it? Yes, it brings hope and joy and grace and peace and all the kind of things and blessings and all the kind of stuff, but I'm trying to live what God wants me to live. And the Word of God is helping me to seek and to learn. And the truth of the matter, I got to grow. How about you? I got to change. I got to mature. I got to confess. I got to repent. That's the life God brought. Christ brought that to everybody that's a believer. Nobody's made it. Nobody's satisfied God in a sense, or we're good to just stand on this plateau or hang out over here. It's just a growth, and God's not upset about it in the sense sometimes we are, and we'll get overwhelmed. Wow, is it always about change? And yeah, it is, but he's not upset when he has to be patient about it. He's just desiring us to reflect the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to a dead world. And it's whether we willfully ignore what he asked for us or embrace what he asked for us. And that's always kind of going on in our life. Are you with me here today? That's just always kind of going on. So as we dig into the text, as we dig into this, this is just revealing the heart of man and the heart of people and what God's going to work through our lives. So as we continue on in chapter 10, look at it with me. From the backside of your outline, we're going to see the last 2 points of Israel's failure to be saved is because they were willfully ignoring the parameters of salvation. And they were willfully ignoring the prediction of scriptures. Let's begin by reading our text, chapter 10, verse 11 through 21. Look at the word of God. Here's what we're going to get into today. And the apostle Paul finishes up chapter 10 writing this: "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they've not heard, believed? How will they believe in him whom they've not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news to good things." Verse 16, "However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says," back in Isaiah, "Lord, who's believed our report?" Question mark. We're going to answer that question. Verse 17. "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they?" Question mark. "Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and the word and their words to the end of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they?" Question mark. "They surely did. For Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you." And Isaiah is very bold and says, God says this, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Isaiah," he says, "all the day long I have stretched out my hands to disobedient and obstinate people." So he's bringing a conclusion here, and there's two points we're going to be looking at. They're willfully ignoring, and you guys remember, willfully ignoring is they chose by their own choice to ignore the parameters of salvation and the prediction of Scripture. So as we kind of grab onto this, just having affirmed the place of faith in verse 9 and 10 for salvation, being right with God, is the place of faith is in trust in Christ. In verses 11 through 18, the Apostle Paul now moves to discuss that they were also willfully ignoring or chose to ignore the parameters of salvation. That's the extent of salvation. That's the idea here, is that the parameters, the extension, who would be saved, and how that would go. Who would believe in the Lord? And they just ignored what God's word said about it. Look at verse 11. He's quoting Isaiah 28:16, and he says this: "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed." Now, I wrote whosoever in your outline, and I like that word better, but you should underline that right there. That is such an important thing, whomsoever. That's such an important thing. The Jews didn't want to believe that salvation was a whosoever proposition. They didn't want to believe that. They thought it was just for them. The Jews rejected that it's a whosoever proposition. And here he says, look at verse 12 and 13, look what he says: "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in all riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, they didn't want to believe there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Now, God and his word and all the Jew and Gentile and all that kind of thing, but they didn't want to believe through the word of God what it said. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. They're the people on this planet. They have a relationship with God or not. There's no distinction. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's quoted from Joel 2:32. Old Testament scriptures in the Old Testament, it's always been that kind of proposition. Now, he chose the people of Israel. He had a relationship with the people of Israel. But what were the people of Israel supposed to do in that relationship? You guys tell me. What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to spread the gospel. Amen to whoever said that over there. They were supposed to be a testimony to the true God is to this world. Do you see anywhere where the Jews really got excited about that? Willfully ignorant, God's word. I'm just going to ignore that God wants us to be a testimony. Yes, there was wicked people God judged. Yes, there was all those kind of things. But Scripture affirms, right, that they were to be a testimony. Even though it's written all through the Old Testament, the point was that they wouldn't accept it was willful ignorance. In fact, it was... It was to have been God's witness nation. I can go through a lot of scriptures, but just let me give you Exodus 19:6. He said, you are a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. And what he wanted them to do was to proclaim salvation in the true God to the rest of the world that was in all this pagan worship. He wanted them, God's desire for them was to be a testimony to the true saving God, the real God on this planet, in this world, in existence, to the nations that didn't want to have anything to do with them. That's what God desired for them, much like the church today. Listen to 1 Peter 2:9. Listen to what it says about us. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Israel willfully ignored that. That's what they did. They chose to say, no, you know what, this is about us and what we get and all that kind of stuff. And we just want God to conquer all of them, get rid of them all. Because they're messing up our life. That was their heart attitude. That's not what the Word of God asked them to be. Well, that really speaks to us, doesn't it, in our willful ignorance, what God has for us. Remember the story of Jonah? God tells them, go proclaim to Nineveh that God sees their sin. Go tell them. Jonah runs from it, right? This is the Jews. This is how their attitude is. God puts him in the belly of a fish. Jonah repents, goes, tells the people of Nineveh, God will judge their sin. What happened? Nineveh did what? They repented. Did you read Jonah 4? What was it? Then Jonah's upset. Man, I'm not pleased, God. I knew you would have compassion and graciousness to those Gentiles. God, you're just messing up my attitude, my thinking of what our God is here for. He's for me, myself, and my friends, and my people. But I know you, God, and who you are, and you'll have compassion even on those pagan Gentiles. So I didn't even want to go. That's really revealing his attitude, right? That was their heart. They had God. They had God's word, his blessing, his truth. They were walking, all of that. And then that's their heart. That's just this one story revealing of it. I knew you would go, but I didn't want that. This is what the Apostle Paul's bringing out here. The Jews didn't want it to be whomsoever. They wanted it to be the special ones, the self-righteous ones, the ones, the certain ones, the kind of people in their group. Now, that's the desire of the flesh, isn't it? Help me, is that the desire of the flesh? I want it to be my group, my people, my thing. They look like me, act like me. Speak like me, like the things I like, only eat the food I like. We all have that in our flesh, right? They have that in their flesh, but in relationship with God, God says it's whomsoever proposition, right? It's whoever he brings. We read it today in Mark. It's the sick ones, isn't it, guys? And then that means you were the sick one when you came. Well, I didn't think I was sick. I didn't look sick. I didn't want to feel, you know, God said, I'm a physician. I came for the sick. And if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were sick. You recognize you're sick. You need help, you need health, you need life, you need Christ's life, you're a sinner. That's salvation. And then you get saved, and then it's like, well, don't bring any of the sick ones, bring all the nice ones. Well, this transposes right into our life, doesn't it? And so he's saying this is who they are. This is why they reject this. This is why they're willfully ignorant of it. Only the good people God brings to himself, the special people, the only people like me, the people I like. That's not this church, right? Right? It's a whomsoever proposition God calls to himself, just like me. And I'm not special in any way, and it's God's grace. And if God wants to pierce some people's lives with the truth of the gospel, I want to be a part of it. I want to embrace them, tall, short, ugly, handsome, whatever, because it's God at work. This isn't about me or you. This is about God. I want you to look at me for a moment. This life, this world, your salvation, what you are going through, what's happening in this world today, what's going on, is not about you. It's about God. And it never was to be about you. And anytime we make it about us, right, and we go through some hard things, we go through some difficult things, and we pray with each other, and we love each other, and we hold each other, and we comfort each other. But who is in charge of the outcome? Help me. We just want to embrace what he's doing. We want to love him and follow him and knowing, trusting in him, because this is a temporal life and what we're going through here is a temporal thing, and we want God to save the people in our life. He wants us to minister our kids, have our marriages, all the things that we desire for him to do, but we have to recognize It's not about us. And that's the biggest self-righteous pride thing that Israel could not get over. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be over it. Or it won't be a testimony. It won't be a light. It's a whomsoever proposition, and God is in charge of whomsoever, is he not? So the Apostle Paul continues to explain the universal extent of the parameters of God's saving grace. Look at verse 14 and 15. Look what he says. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they've not heard? How will they hear him without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So first of all, it's a whomsoever proposition, and they're willfully ignorant of that. And then it's about God as the sender. These are two familiar verses with us, and I know they are with us. And the whole point here, stay with me here, is that you can't believe unless you have heard a message. Nobody can believe without hearing the message. You can't hear it unless somebody gives it. You can't give it unless somebody has been sent. And you can't get sent unless somebody sends you. And the idea is that God is the sender. And he sends preachers. Now, let me help you with that word. That's not me. God isn't asking you to make out some notes, do a note, right? Make an outline, go to the corner, start telling people about Jesus Christ. Okay? That's not what the word means in the text, okay? Okay, I want you to grab this because it means about you. It means about us, and it's all of us. Let me ask you, is the church sent into the world to proclaim the gospel? Oh, well, that was exciting. Is the church sent into the world to proclaim the gospel? Yeah. Are you the church? Yeah. I'm just part of the church, right? And so this is what the word means. This is what he's talking about. Let me give you the idea. God sends heralds. That's what it is. Of his message, proclaimers of the message. It's like this. You remember a long, long time ago, it was in the 40s, when they would get out the news to the community, and you know, they'd get the kids, and they'd stand on the corner, and they'd have a paper, and they'd ring a bell, herald. Hey, here's the news. Giants won again. I got some smiles over here. Dodgers won the World Series, though. I'm getting smiles, right? It's news, right? It's news, right? Warriors, they won game 3, right? I mean, it's news. And that's what they were. They were heralds. They stood on the corner and they heralded the good news. That's what we are. The good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ, we're heralds. That means that we have news that we want to get out to people. Now, the dynamic of that is totally different. I'm not saying all of us need to go stand on some corner in Porterville, raise the Bible and say, the good news is here, right? But I'm saying in our lives, what God is saying is that God sends the message out. Nobody can hear until the message gets sent out, right? Nobody gives the message unless they're sent. If you don't know that God sent you, you're willfully ignorant of it. I'm going to just tell you that right now. You're just ignoring God's truth and God's word. Right? That's not even a question, is it, in God's word, that God has sent his church into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? It's not like, okay, I did it once. It was back in 97 when I was, right? It's in the life that you have now and everywhere you're at and everywhere you go now. It's in your own personality, in your own makeup and that kind of stuff. But that's God, what he's doing in the world. He has sent out messengers, heralds, right? He sent them out. Nobody can hear unless someone is sent with a message. And nobody will hear unless they give the message. And nobody can believe unless they hear the message, right? This is God's work. This is what God's doing. So God has sent the heralds to the Jews, right? They're all through the Old Testament. We can go through it all. There they are. Here's the news. Here's the prophets, all that kind of stuff. And far beyond them. So the gospel extends to all, and the gospel has been sent out by God, and God has sent it out. And God is the sender. Because God sends, so people proclaim, so people hear, so people become, as he calls them, to themselves. That's been going on the whole time. You're just a part of it. This is what he's bringing up. Okay, here it was. It's a whomsoever proposition. They didn't like that. They want to willfully ignore that. And God says, I'm the sender. And I sent you, and you rejected it. I send the church that, right? Luke 24:47, repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. God decided that. You think Luke 24:47 isn't going to happen? Jesus said, repentance in my name is going to go to all the nations. You think that's going to happen? Or are you thinking, oh, I'm just waiting for when people are not going to be willfully ignoring what I have to say again. I'm just going to kind of wait. It's not going to get there until really. You think that's God? Right? This is what he's telling them. It went to you. I said it would go to you. It's going to go to all the world. Mark 16, 15 says, go into all the world and preach, proclaim, herald the gospel to all creation. So God's the sender in our time now. Who does he send? He sends you, right? And me. That's who he sends. That's it. You and me and whoever God has in that and however dynamic in that. Let's not be willfully ignoring that. Israel willfully ignoring that God sent people to them. Willfully ignored that they were supposed to be the sent ones. Got into self-righteousness, missed God, missed God's promises, missed God's blessing, got self-righteous, missed the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Christ coming down, living in front of him, missed him. Can't even believe in him. Such a hard heart about what God's doing. God has so many things in our life, so many things he wants to do, but we get trapped, we get guided, we get misled into that. Our life is about these things. Listen, church, the body of Christ, God has a plan and a purpose and a reason for us gathering and a reason for us growing, a reason for him ministering to our lives, but it's about him. So many blessings in our lives about that, but we have to think in that way or we'll just get trapped and we're going to miss what God has for us in the things that are in front of us. Enough on that. So there's this wide open call, and God sends his messengers out. Listen to what the word of God's saying, but Israel's got a real problem. And here it is. Look at verse 16 through 18 with me. This is their real problem. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. The word of God says, the voice has gone out into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Now let me explain to you what God's word is saying here. It's such an important thing for us to hear and understand. In spite of such a wide call, the Jews heard the message, but they didn't really hear it because scripture says they didn't heed what the good news was. Very important. The problem is that they were willfully chose to ignore the good news. They heard it, God sent it, they didn't hear the message. To hear it, you have to heed it. It's in the word of God. I'm going to explain it to you. To believe it, you have to heed it. Believing is more than just hearing. It's acting upon it. There's an action here. Let me show you this. And I've done this before. Are you guys all listening to me right now? Whoever hears my voice right now, I'm asking you to raise your right hand. Okay, you can put it down. Okay, if you didn't raise your right hand, did you hear me? No, you chose to willfully ignore what I said. Well, that's what it means to hear and to heed. Now, that's the first time ever I've done that, and I got a good response from you guys. But that's the idea of the words in the text here. These are rich with meaning, the words that God uses here, and he uses them for a reason. Everyone in the room that heard me raised their right hand. If you didn't raise your right hand, you didn't really hear me or heed what you heard. It means you didn't obey what you heard. You can have all the reasons you want to. You can have all the reasons that you work in your mind that, well, I'm not going to raise my hand because the pastor says raise your hand. I'm not going to do that. That looks silly. All that kind of stuff. But the thing is you didn't obey what you heard, right? Bottom line, right? You can come up with all your excuses you want. You didn't obey what you heard. Same in the word of God. Same in the gospel. Believing is hearing, heeding, and acting upon something. There's a part here. You see, to hear the gospels, to heed the good news in salvation, there must be volition. There must be. There's a choice on our part. There has to be. The word of God teaches it. God sends the message out all across the world. The problem is people don't hear with response. They don't heed the good news. Heed in the text. Let me give you the Greek term, hupakuo. It means to hear under. It means to hear and respond by yielding or submission. Now, you don't even know that, do you? To heed to something, to hear something. Same with in verse 17 where it says hearing and hearing. That word is akouo in the Greek. It means to hear with a willingness or a yielding to submit to something or to answer something. So believing is hearing. Hearing is heeding. And heeding is coming to faith in Christ. That's what he's teaching us. You can't get out of the scriptures on this. You don't hear people telling you about this much. But it means to listen to something, hearken with action or stillness, or attention to answer it. basically means to hear and respond in obedience. In the message of salvation, the message of the gospel, there's a sense of obedience and affirming that I will line up under and I will submit. The Jews didn't do that when they heard the gospel. They didn't do that. Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent is to heed. To trust in Christ is to submit, affirm, confess he is the Lord of your life. That's what it means to believe in the gospel. It doesn't mean any less than that. Let me get you to that. Okay, that's the volition of a human being in that I've recognized. It's not just about believing and believing. It's just not about having faith in the faith. It's about believing and putting your faith and your trust in Christ. And then there's an obedience, there's a heeding, there's a pukokeo action in it. And it's all through the New Testament. It's all through the Word of God. You came repenting, right? That's heeding to something. I'm a sinner, I need to turn. You came embracing, confessing the Lord as Savior, his lordship over your own. Without that, there's no salvation. This isn't just about I believe that Jesus was this and he did that and that. That's believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. But that has an idea in the terms and the way it's said as an action of obedience. That's so important. You heed to the good news, saving faith. Let me give you a few scriptures just to enforce the point. Let me give you a few. Hebrews 11, we'll start with Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Let me just give you a few to just enforce what we're, you know, and encourage what we're talking about here. Because when we share the gospel, when we tell people of Christ, you know, yes, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That means he's all that he is, all that he said he was, that God raised him from the dead. So he is God, the Son of God. He paid the penalty of sin, victory over sin and death, all of that kind of thing. Believe in your heart is from the soul. It's from you. It's from that. It's not a mind acquiesce. There's a heeding to that. Wow, that is God. And then it says, confess with your mouth him as Lord. That means, yes, my lordship's over and it's about your lordship. I mean, there's just this reality to it. Listen to Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. Now, he was called, right? God spoke to Abraham, called him, said, Abraham. Abraham's a pagan, living in a pagan city, doesn't have any kind of relationship with God other than some false worship of a bunch of gods, that kind of thing. God speaks, calls him to himself. Abraham, like, it's God. I mean, God pierced his heart with the truth of who he is. And this is what it says, obeyed by going out to a place which was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That sounds like obedience to me. How about you? God said, Abraham, I'm the true God, and I'm going to build a nation and bless the people on you, and I want you to go that way. And he said, all right, let's go. That's the obedience of faith, isn't it? I mean, when they called him in Mark, and we're looking at it, he called in Mark 2 today, or Mark 3, he called whichever one it was. When he called Matthew, he called, and there was something that went on. It was in the heart. And Matthew, here he is, a tax collector, not a guy's nice guy, you know, not like by people. Jesus came by, called him. What was that? What was that that he got up and just said, I'm following Jesus? I mean, did he have a whole lot of knowledge about Jesus? He didn't say he did, but there was something in there that said, I'm going to obey the calling of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord and Savior, call me. I'm going to be, there's something in that. And that's what we want to capture in our own hearts, in our own minds. That's what happened in your life. But when you willfully ignore that there's something to that, boy, that makes it pretty easy, right? We listen to the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We are taught the Word of God. We do studies in the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. If there isn't a heeding to the Word of God, is it really a relationship with God? Now, this isn't like a duty, and we just keep the Word of God by a ritual. It's because when we preach the Word or teach the Word, God speaks, right? Spirit of God speaks to you, speaks to me, talks to us about our life. And we heed, we hear, we hearken it in our heart with a response of answering or responding. That's the life of the believer. That's how God ministers, guides, leads, encourages his children in the walk of faith. It began in salvation. But if you said, man, I know it's that, and I'm going to choose that it's not that. And that's what the Jews did, right? Let me give you a few others. Acts 6:7, listen to this. The word of God, it says, and that's the word of Christ, the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, kept on spreading. What was happening? Kept on spreading. People kept sharing the truth about Jesus Christ. He came, he lived, he died, he was sinless, right? He died for our sins. He rose again on our behalf, right? Anybody wants their sins forgiven, trust in him, put your faith in him, confess him as Lord, surrender your life to him, he's yours. You're his. Then it says, the number of disciples continued to increase. People trusting in Christ for salvation, heeding the gospel. And it says this, and many priests, that's the Jews, were becoming obedient to the faith. That's synonymous with salvation. There's no such thing as salvation apart from hearing under or apart from submitting oneself to the Lord. Follow along here. Look at your Bibles. Are you in Romans with me? You still in Romans? Look at Romans 1:5. Look at it with me. We're just kind of moving along through here. This is really encouraging us. And really speaking to our hearts, because I need help in heeding and following and hearing and responding. And God helps me through his word and encourages me through his word, and all of us need to. And we need to see when we willfully ignore that. Boy, it didn't really go well for these Jews, but look at Romans 1:5 with me. Look at this. Here it says, verse 4, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace. Now, that could be the grace of salvation, the grace of apostleship, of everything, but let's just say the grace. We received the grace to be saved, have new life, and now, and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. There's an obedience to faith. Believing is heeding. It's obeying. Faith implies submission, hupakouo in the Greek. That's what that word means. That's the same word. But the noun form, where it's translated obedience of the faith, that's hupakouo, that's the word heed. Same word. Now look at chapter 2, verse 8. Now look at chapter 2, verse 8. This is just all over the Gospels. This is all over the New Testament, Romans 2:8. Hupakouo, again, listen to what it says. But to those, now he's contrasting, to those that... Verse 7, those who persevere in doing good, seeking glory and honor, immortality, want to have faith and trust in God. But to those who are selfishly ambition and do not obey the truth, hupakouo again, heed it. They don't heed the truth. Obey the truth. To hear and to respond in obedience, that's what that word means. The truth. But they obey, they hear and respond and obey unrighteousness. What's ready for you? Wrath and indignation. Hebrews 5:9, discussing Jesus, says this. Listen to what it says. He was made perfect and became the author of eternal salvation to all those who, what do you think the word is? Believe? Hupakouo, obey. The author of eternal salvation to all those who obey, heed him. That's faith, that's believing, that's trusting and responding. My faith in the Lord. It's an obedience. It's a response. This is all over the scriptures. Paul is quoting the Old Testament in verse 16 of Romans, chapter 10. From Isaiah 53:1. Got to get back there. Where he says, however, they did not all heed the good news from Isaiah, says, Lord, whom has believed our report? Now that's from Isaiah. I've got to show you this. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 52 and show you how that went. I got to show you this on how this applies. And why he brought that up. Excuse me. Isaiah 53:1 is what he quotes, but listen to Isaiah 52:7. Here's Isaiah, the prophet, writing to the people of Israel. It says this, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who announce peace and bring good news of happiness, who announce salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Verse 10, the Lord has bared his holy arm. Now, get this with me. Bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of God. 53:1, who's believed our message? To whom has the Lord been revealed? Paul is telling us, not many of the Jews. Israel willfully ignored the arm of the Lord and his salvation being revealed to the world. and the feet of the good news, bringing the gospel of salvation to the world. Who has believed our report? Not many of the Jews. What does that in a heart? You guys help me. What does that in a heart? Self-righteousness and pride. That's amazing, isn't it? He says, then he says in verse 17 in Romans, what he says next. I got to get back there. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Akouo in the Greek, hearing. There's a power of God. There's a thing of God. The word of Christ, the message of Christ, simply that he is Lord and Savior, believing and heeding and submission that he is Lord of your life. With the idea that you've heeded to something. That's what the word in verse 17 means. So faith comes from hearing, and the hearing of the word of Christ, the message of Christ. Hearing is a hearing that I respond to. It's just not that I heard it. Just like when I said, whoever hears me, raise your right hand. There was the gospel call into your life that you responded, a volition of man that acted, that moved. Now, did God pierce their heart with the truth? Did God, yeah, all of that. But there's a responsibility of humanity, and it's not just, oh, I believe it. There's a removing of it. Verse 18 affirms that Israel heard. That's what he said. But I say surely, have they not heard? Have they? Indeed they have. And I'll stay out of all of that in there. That's Psalm 19. Just amazing stuff. The voice has gone out into all the earth and the world, and their words to the ends of the world. Basically, God just affirms, and every one of them heard it. No one raised their hand. They heard it, and none of them raised their hand. I said it over and over and over to them, willfully ignoring the truth that I was telling them because of their own hard heart and their own selfish pride and their own obstinance. And all they had to do was to just respond, yes, Lord. Willfully ignoring that. But that's what it was. It's the heart of man, isn't it? Speaks to us again. Scripture affirms, Romans 6:17, you heard the gospel, were obedient from the heart to the gospel that Jesus is Lord. Let me ask you a question. How is he Lord today? How's he growing you? How's he changing you, teaching you the way to live? How are you representing him? You came to salvation, repenting, your lordship embracing his, confessing him as Lord, giving up your own lordship. That's coming to faith. That's believing. Now, I'm not saying it's in a good or bad place. I just wrote this down for my own conviction. I wrote a bunch of things down for me, Lord, and this and that. Where is God at work in my new life? And then I wrote this, that Christ gave me, that I could never earn, never purchase, never deserve from God, that I would never have if God didn't give it. Where am I heeding to his own word now? Where am I being willfully ignorant of his own word to me today? Help me repent and change and turn, Lord, because this is about you, not me. If you see me repenting and confessing of something in my life, praise God, because it's about him. It's not about me or attention for me or you or about how good or bad you are. It's about what God is doing, and we would all say that God is in the sanctification process and is at work in each believer's life in this room, would we not? That means you have some sin in your life that God's working on. And I want to praise God when he's working on it. And I want to see, wow, thank you, Lord, that you're helping him with that. That's a believer in Christ. Sometimes we have a hard time with dealing with each other, us, each other knowing that we have sinful things in our life. Is that a truth? I'm glad you guys referred me that one. So digging into this and seeing all this, man, to just kind of wash it all away, to willfully ignore it so it doesn't actually be real, is really the response the Jews had, but not what the response God's churches have. As we kind of finish up today, let's look at this last point that we have in our text. Jews willfully ignored the parameters of salvation. They love their sin, their self-righteousness. They chose not to surrender to the Lord. Last point, Israel was ignorant of the prediction of scriptures. Look at verse 19 through 21. Look at this with me. They chose to ignore what God said would happen in their failure to believe. God told them in the word of God what he would do in their failure to honor him, to be obedient to him. He wrote it right down. It was right before him all the time. All along, the Apostle Paul, as we've been going through this, has been showing us this. It's the word of God that's been talking about all this, and we've been going through many scriptures, that the Jews would ignore the truth of God's word or change it because of pride, self-righteousness, leading their heart. And that's what pride and righteousness does when it leads your heart. It changes God's word. It doesn't acknowledge God's word. It ignores God's word. Look at verse 19. Look what he said. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? What do you guys think? Do you think they knew? Absolutely knew, didn't they? And then he goes to Moses, which for the Jews, they would have said, oh, Moses said, that's our number one guy. He says, and Moses told you. He said, you knew, and Moses told you. Moses said in Deuteronomy 32:21, I will make you, God said to you, I will make you jealous, by which is not a nation. A nation without understanding will I anger you. Now, let me just read that to you real quick out of Deuteronomy 32. Moses told them that in their rebellion, their unwillingness to heed to the salvation of God, that God would turn to the Gentile people and bless them and make them, the Jews, jealous of them. He says in 32:5, he says this, God saying about the Jews, they acted corruptly toward him, toward God. They are not his children, but of their defect. That's pretty strong words. But are a perverse and crooked generation. Verse 20, then he said, God, I'll hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom there is no faithfulness. This is God writing to the Jews in Deuteronomy from Moses, right? 21, they have made me jealous with what is not God. They have idolatry going on in their life. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Do you know who that is? That's you. God uses the church, the body of Christ, the Gentiles that come to salvation, to provoke the Jews to jealousy and anger for God saving Gentiles. That's what's going on. It's you. You think something bigger is going on than our salvation? Do you think this is about God and what he's doing in the world? We're going to get into chapter 11 where he's got promises and he's not done with Israel and he's going to bring this all about, and I'm sure it's going to all come about. But he moves to Romans 10:20. Look what he says. And Isaiah is very bold and says, God says this, I was found by those who did not seek me, and I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. Now, that's back in Isaiah, and he told him that. That's Romans 9:30, where it says, what shall I say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness by faith. That's us again. God told him way back that there was going to be a Gentile, a pagan, and the Jews thought, oh my gosh, pagan people? Gentile people? Yeah, right, God. And he told him a long time ago, predicted in the scriptures, in your rejection, I'm going to bring them into the family of God. They're going to be my children. They weren't even pursuing me, but I brought them to righteousness. He said, that's what I'm going to do. And they totally willfully ignored it when it happened. Now, I've just lightly touched on it. Now, you think about all that's there, and the Apostle Paul teaching to them and preaching to them, all these Jewish people, said, God said it was going to. And then there's Jesus Christ, and he dies on the cross, and he's raised from the dead, and he's the Savior. And God told us that all would happen. Nope, willfully ignored. That's pretty hard heart, isn't it? Would you agree? That's what happened. That's what he's teaching. Willfully chose to just ignore the word of God and the truth of God and Jesus Christ and stand in front of them. And it wasn't like they had a different word. It's they had self-righteousness. Look at verse 21. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I've stretched out my hand to this disobedient and obstinate people. God reached out to the Jews constantly, continually. They willfully ignored God. Last thing, can you turn your Bibles to Acts 7 with me? I want to close with this. So we've walked all along here. We can just see, wow, Israel just, yes. Chapter 9, sovereignty of God. They're not going to believe in Christ. Sovereignty of God is involved in that. Chapter 10, man, they are willfully, they're not going to believe in Christ. Willful rejection, willful ignorance of it. Now I want you to turn to Acts 7. I want you to look at verse 51, and we'll close with this, because this is something that, as I was digging through all of this, just really impacted me and tried to help us today and in my own life and your life. And just when God's word, his truth, really speaks to our hearts, what we do. Here in Acts 7, 51 through 54, look at it with me. Here Stephen is saying his final words to the Jews about their relationship with God. He gives this great, amazing message. He's confronting their self-righteousness, that they're good enough, that they're accepted by God by their works, by their goodness, their attitude, and he's telling them they're not. He's confronting them, and this is right before the Jews stone him to death. Look at verse 51, and he says this, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You're doing just as your fathers did." I want you to capture that, the Word of God, the truth of God, the Holy Spirit, the arm of the Lord, God himself. The Holy Spirit saying, please, this is the way of God. The Holy Spirit saying, this is the life of God. The Holy Spirit saying, no, this way, that way is death. That way is no life. Believe me. I'm the author of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. Believe me, that isn't the way of life. Believe me, I know your flesh. I know your struggle. I know what you're challenged with. Jesus died to pay the penalty of all that. This way, that's what I want you to get. The Jews, God's people, Christ cried over them. God calling them, no, this way. Verse 52, you men who are, or 52 and 53, which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You have received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. That word keep it, the idea in that word is more the idea of respond in faith. That same Greek word, hupakuo. Didn't respond in faith to the word of God. The righteous one came, that were announcing his coming, you guys killed him, and he came, and he's here. Can you imagine the conviction? Can you imagine the conviction? Think about your life. When God shows you that you're stiff-necked in your heart, stiff-necked in your sin, and it's the Holy Spirit desiring to lead you God's way, imagine that. Listen to verse 54. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. Conviction is kind of like that. I kind of grind my teeth when I get convicted. How about you? I kind of get that way. How about you? When the Holy Spirit, when God's word convicts you, when there's something in your life that's there that you know that God doesn't want it there, let's be real people, folks. Let's be the church of the living God. Let's realize that in our life that God is at work in and all these kind of things, and the Holy Spirit, the arm of the Lord, don't resist him. In him showing you, ministering to you, teaching you, guiding you, leading you in his word, saying, no, this way. Because conviction will come. What's your response? What's your response? The Jews stoned the one sent by God. That was their response. That's what their response was. They stoned Stephen, the one sent by God to offer forgiveness, to offer help, to offer guidance, to offer freedom from sin, slavery, to offer change, growth, Christ-likeness. In all the Word of God, It's the Holy Spirit's offering hand for all those things, for the life of Christ, for the rescue of God, for the way of God's people, for us to hear under, to hear and to respond by yielding. Is such a great lesson for us to see, such a great lesson for us to recognize. For we recognize the desire the flesh wants to willfully ignore, choose not to, choose its own way. But the life in the Spirit that God gave us has been empowered by God and given to us to make a choice in our own volition to say, I'm going to follow God. I've surrendered my life to Christ. That's the way of me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for your word to us. We thank you for the Apostle Paul writing chapter 10 and just really revealing to us that just that willful ignorance in the heart of the Jews to not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of man, Lord, that's why it's a grace, why it needs to be pierced by you. And then once it is, Lord, we recognize that on our own we don't do this. It's a surrendered life to you. It's a, as it says in Galatians, Lord, if we walk by the Spirit, we don't carry out the desires of the flesh. But we can't ignore what the Spirit is telling us, the way to walk. For that's the way it is to walk by the Spirit, by allowing Him to lead and guide and being in charge. And that's what we choose. We choose you, Lord. We choose to follow you. We choose to honor you. We choose your word, your way. That's our volition, to embrace what you have for us. Thank you for today. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.